Welcome or welcome back to Market to the Mavens, the ultimate podcast for all things marketing. I'm your host, Tori, and with me, I'm here with our co-host, Heather.
Good morning.
Hello. So today we're going to touch on a few different topics. The first one is going to be updates on the TikTok ban and something we covered a few episodes ago, but we're just going to recap and basically keep up to date with what's going on with that. And then we're going to go into something we've been dealing with recently, which is email deliverability and this fun thing called DMARC and DKIM, which Heather will give you all the insight on that. And then we're going to conclude with some exciting social media updates and just keeping up with what's in the marketplace.
Let's do it.
Okay, so let's go over the updates with the TikTok ban.
Okay.
That is moving through our government. And so I will go through just the recent update of what's been going on. So the recent passage of the bill of House Representatives to ban TikTok marks a significant development in ongoing debate surrounding the social media platform. This move reflects growing concerns over data privacy, security, national security risk associated with popular video sharing app. This proposed ban underscores the need for stricter regulations and oversight in the digital space, particularly regarding to the collection of handling of user data by foreign-owned platforms. And so we had talked about this potential TikTok ban a few episodes ago, but with this, it's moving down the pipeline, which makes it a little bit more real to people. And so I'm going to hand it over to you and start with what should we be anticipating when it comes to this TikTok ban?
So my belief is that this is just a lot of posturing, and this would affect, I don't remember the exact number, but something like 170 million people in the United States. And so the other part that's very interesting is they call it foreign owned, but it's actually the majority is owned by investors that are U.S. citizens. And so this is all over the news, and a lot of people are talking about it. And so that's pretty normal information. The thing is that there are a lot of creators on TikTok that are making revenue and paying taxes to the government.
Yeah.
That's going to be a lot of revenue that I'm not sure the government is really prepared to be able to get rid of that. I think what they're trying to do is posture. This is my assumption. They're trying to posture in a way that they will force the Chinese owners to be able to have it all owned by U.S. And China's already made that very clear that they're not willing to do that.
Okay.
And I think that users need to understand that when you are on an app and when an app is on your phone, you are giving up a good portion of your personal data already.
No matter who it is.
Yeah. And so I think that there was a huge scare back in 2016 for the election that happened where Facebook was actually selling data to political campaigns to be able to use that data to target their audience. And so that obviously is something that could happen. And with the relationship with China and with Russia being so close tied, I think that the government is just really worried about that, in my opinion. And so I think it's a matter of the users really just continuing to, you know, operate as normal.
Do what they're doing.
Yeah, I know that I've heard a lot of politicians that are saying that there was information that they got that was, you know, behind closed doors that's not released to the regular public, and it was very scary. So scary could be that they're watching us. We know they're watching us. The government is watching us.
Yeah.
I mean, there's already been reports from that the government monitors us through our phones, and they're not supposed to be doing that. But now all of a sudden, they're accusing foreign countries of doing the same thing. It feels very reminiscent of the Cold War when I was growing up, and how the Russians were the bad people, and now they're trying to make the Chinese the bad people. And the truth of the matter is that personally, the Chinese people that I've worked with were fantastic. The government is going to do what the government's going to do. I would be very surprised if this is something that really ends up going through.
Yeah. So as far as businesses and brands, how should they operate? Because you touched on user operation, just keep moving forward as normal. But as a brand and a business, you have a lot of money invested into TikTok. What should you do?
That's a great question. So I think that you already should be diversified across all of the social media platforms, and you should be cross-promoting. So if you have a large following on TikTok, you definitely should be cross-promoting to Instagram. You should be cross-promoting to Facebook. You should be cross-promoting to X. Mm-hmm. You should be cross-promoting to LinkedIn. Those are all different demographics, and they're all different audiences. But also, it's a great way for you to be able to not be so impacted. Any business that's in operation understands that they should not have all of their eggs in one basket or too many in one basket. And so you definitely need to diversify. So the first thing is make sure that all your profiles show all your social media platforms, YouTube included. I just think they need to spread it out across and encourage in every video to follow their other social media platforms, and even encourage them for some kind of an incentive, or if you want to do a giveaway, or if you want to do, you know, I certainly think you need to be prepared for it, but I don't think you need to be worried about it.
Yeah. And as far as brands working with influencers that most of their following is on TikTok, do you suggest that they still do that?
Absolutely. I think it should be business as usual.
Yeah.
Do we want to talk about working with influencers? Because I do think that that is becoming a very saturated market.
Right.
So I won't go into that. Maybe that's for another podcast. Yeah. I think my experience is heavily in user experience. And so, yes, I think they should continue to operate as business as usual.
I think with TikTok specifically, a lot of brands are working with influencers in the way of working with them for TikTok Shop, because mm-hmm. that's been something that's been widely successful. Mm-hmm. TikTok Shop has taken over the product marketplace recently. And so I think as far as working with influencers on that market, you do think that brands should continue just business as usual?
Yeah, but I do think that there should always be a opportunity to move a user purchase over to your own platform, mm-hmm. to your website. So if you are using TikTok Shop as a way to be able to get new customers, that's fantastic. But you should be marketing to those customers through email. You should be marketing to them through your other channels in order to be able to bring them away from the TikTok Shop. Again, diversify.
Yeah. So worst case scenario, I'm going to go worst case scenario here. TikTok bans, they're completely off the face of the earth. What social media platforms do you think will fill that gap?
Instagram.
Yeah.
100%. I think YouTube is YouTube is trying to do the shorts, and they're just not catching on as well. And I think that has to do with the algorithm, and that's the reason that TikTok is so widely used, is because it has a very unique algorithm. And also, that's part of what the U.S. is trying to do, is trying to get their algorithm. And that was written by Chinese developers, and the Chinese government is saying no. So I think that it's probably going to go to Instagram. I think it's going to be a very different experience.
Yeah.
But YouTube is just a very different user demographic, and even just a different platform. So it's going to be interesting. But I think Instagram is going to be the biggest beneficiary, which there's all these conspiracy theorists that are saying that Facebook and Instagram are paying politicians to even bring this up. I don't know.
Maybe.
I
will get into TikTok versus Instagram and some of the updates that I have about Instagram and just how Instagram's kind of been behind the ball when it comes to the short form video. They follow what TikTok does most of the time. So we'll get into that later. But so as far as businesses out there wondering about this, maybe even freaking out about this, just continue business as usual. Continue how you've been marketing on TikTok, cross-promoting, and then getting, which we said this on the original podcast, but getting your clients on an email list is so important.
That is, at the end of the day, your followers are not yours, really. Mm-hmm. They belong to TikTok.
Right.
When you have them in an email address, you own that email address. And I can't remember if I brought this up in a previous episode, but – A great example of this is Jennifer Lopez. Yeah. She has been creating and cultivating an email list where she sends out emails that are exclusive only to people that are on the email list. So you don't see this information distributed through social media. You have to first find it on her email list, which there's a whole trend of haters on Jennifer Lopez. I think she's fantastic and brilliant. So it's just a case study for marketing. I think it's a great example of being able to own the data. You don't own your followers.
Yeah.
The platform owns the followers. When you have their email addresses, those are your customers.
I have seen multiple cases where accounts have been hacked and completely wiped and
– or banned.
Yeah.
Last minute, we've had some really huge influencers that got banned with no recourse whatsoever. Mm-hmm. And again, you don't own them.
And they don't help you get those followers back. You have to start back from scratch.
Yep.
So I have seen that happen before. Okay, is there anything else you want to touch on with the TikTok?
No, I love it. I'm a little bit addicted too.
Yeah, you're a TikTok scroller.
I love the user data. Like, I'm just so fascinated by what's trending and what people are interested in. I mean, I like to be current on the trends.
Yeah.
And that is the place to get the trends right now.
Yeah. I just realized I'm very pinked out today. So if
pink's
you're watching.
Your favorite color.
If you're watching.
No, what's so funny is I even noticed that your Outlook has pink.
Yeah.
Yeah, you are pink plus.
I'm not doing it on purpose. It just Okay, so we're going to move on to the email deliverability. This is the meat of this episode. This is something that not a lot of people are aware of until it's, I don't want to say too late because it is fixable, but most of your emails are going to spam, or most of your forms submissions are going to spam because you have not fixed this solution yet. And so we're going to go into what DMARC and DKIM are. So I'll read the high level and then I'll let you explain it in more of an easier to understand verbiage. But so DMARC, which stands for Domain-Based Message Authentication Reporting and Conformance, which is a really long name.
That's why we call it DMARC.
Is an email authentication protocol designed to combat email fraud and phishing attacks. It helps organizations ensure that emails sent from their domain are legitimate and not forced by malicious actors. DMARC works by enabling domain owners to specify policies for email authentication and reporting, allowing them to instruct email providers on how to handle emails that fail authentication checks. By implementing DMARC, businesses can enhance email security protocol, protect their brand's reputation, and improve email deliverability. So that's a high-level overview of what DMARC is. But in your words, what exactly is DMARC and how does this impact email marketing strategies for businesses?
So I think there's going to be some backstory first. And I know that everybody is inundated with spam emails. And what happens with those spam emails is people will create a generic Gmail address and they'll start spamming, or they'll take a domain and they will create a bunch of spam emails that go out. And these email providers like Gmail and Microsoft are being inundated with reports of these spams. And so DMARC was a solution for combating these spamming efforts. And this was actually released in February. And initially,
this February 2024.
Yeah, 2024.
That's really
DMARC.
Recent.
So DKIM was prior. That was the precursor of DMARC. And DKIM was just to verify that you have ownership of the domain.
Right.
And so when you have an email address, like ours is lifeinmotion.com. So heather@lifeinmotion.com was the email that went, was the domain that we had DKIM set up to verify, yes, this is a legitimate email address. And so we had noticed that the DKIM was something that was really easy to verify.
Yeah.
And so DMARC was released to make it a little bit more stringent in adding additional security measures. And initially when it was released, what they were wanting to do was have the email, if a entity, which means the domain, like lifeinmotion.com, is sending out 4,000 emails in a period of time, then you would need to set up DMARC. Well, the problem is that there are a lot of companies that use solutions like web forms. Yeah. So WP Forms, if you have that on your WordPress website, that entity is as a whole is sending out more than 4,000 emails at a time. And this gets really complicated because
the entity of WP Forms, because they're on multiple sites. Okay.
They're on multiple sites. Okay. And so, and then also those emails are technically coming from the domain server, so it's a different address. So when we send out a form to ourselves from our website, even though it looks like it's coming from our website, it's actually coming from a server address. And so their good intentions of having these verifications in progress actually completely halted us being able to get email addresses or emails sent to us that were legitimate emails. They were just blocked, never delivered.
Yeah.
So DMARC is something that you need to set up for, in my opinion, for every single email address, because then it began to affect if I am legitimately typing an email to somebody and sending it to them, my email is either getting blocked or it's going to their spam. We noticed that over time too. And so there's a lot of use case with that as far as being able to be responsible in the email addresses that you're emailing to. A lot of people were abusing that by wanting to purchase email addresses or adding people that didn't really want to be on the list.
Right.
And so it's a really big problem that I think that there are some core things that I can recommend that makes it very simple.
Yeah. And so as far as a user standpoint, DMARC, is it as effective as it's supposed to be when blocking, or is it also going to block things that you might want?
It's going to block things that you don't want, because there are people that just don't know about it.
Okay.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying, is there are a lot of companies out there that just haven't implemented this. And because it's so new, we're just now seeing the result of this implementation.
Did they make an announcement?
They did, but the announcement that they made wasn't really what happened. And it's kind of like SEO. Google says, this is what we're going to do. And then suddenly you figure out, well, actually they meant something else.
Like, yeah.
It's like they try to keep you on your toes. And so
In
my opinion, everybody, if you're having any email deliverability issue, this is the first place you should look.
Okay.
And that means any email marketing that you're doing, if you're sending emails to customers and they're saying they're not receiving them, if they're going to junk and they're still not seeing them, it's the DMARC issue. And this goes back to their domain.
Is there any specific platforms that are up to date with DMARC right now?
HubSpot.
Isn't?
Is.
Is up
you
to
said
date.
Is up to date, right?
No,
you
isn't. Said not. Is not. Sorry. Yeah.
Well, we're finding WP Forms, which we have on about 70 websites, and we've been going through and correcting that, which is very interesting because that's one of the most common used web forms.
Yeah.
So I would say any web form plugin that anybody is using on a WordPress website, that's going to be an issue. We have Constant Contact, MailChimp.
As far as I have seen, are not okay.
up to speed yet. But at the time that this airs, they could be up to speed. Right. But I would definitely be looking into that. And so if you're using any kind of CRM web form on your website, you definitely want to make sure that your DMARC is up to date.
Okay. And then what are some common challenges or misconceptions businesses face when implementing DMARC?
So misconception would be that's once you fix that, everything is going to work.
Okay.
Because here's the other side of that. The other side of that is when you deliver an email, when you send out an email, the individual people have an opportunity to unsubscribe. And at the time that they unsubscribe, they can report that as, I didn't sign up for this, or that it was spam. And if you have more than 10% of those email lists on there, that can hurt your ranking and even blacklist your domain, even if it is set with DMARC. So the thing that I would highly recommend is that everybody be really responsible with your email list. That means if you have been sending emails to somebody for 6 months and they've never opened, never respond, I know people are going to just cringe when I say this, but they're no longer your customer.
Yeah.
They're no longer interested. If you are responsible and put them to the side and don't email them once a month or regularly, I always recommend to my clients to just touch base with them once a year, maximum twice a year if they haven't engaged, because then you're being responsible. DMARC isn't going to wipe away all the other issues. You really need to be responsible with your email list.
And with that, people can say that's a lot of management, but there's automations that can do that for you.
Yes.
And so you can set that up to automate where if they have not opened an email, responded an email, clicked on anything in 6 months, they can be moved to a separate list.
Yes.
And that list can be a once a year follow-up.
Correct. And the best time to do that is during the holidays, like Mother's Day or Thanksgiving. This is my little tip, is a lot of people send things out for Christmas. I like to send things out for Thanksgiving because there's not quite as much traffic on the thank you kind of email. Of course, Black Friday is doing crazy amounts of emails. But I think if you're just sending out a thank you and they recognize your name, I think that's a great time to send out an email.
Right. Okay. And then can you share some best practices for businesses looking to adopt DMARC into their email marketing from the side of a business where you want to add in DMARC so that your emails aren't going to spam?
So it's a pretty technical set up. And so my recommendation is if you're working with a marketing team that you have them do it. If you aren't working with a marketing team, then your IT company can help you with that. I think there's some great resources online that you can search to be able to set it up. It is really about establishing that connection with your domain, with your email provider, and with your website. And so that would just be if you are not intimately involved with setting up those three things, then you need to find an individual that can do it for you.
Okay.
Yeah.
Was there anything else on DMARC
that
you wanted to touch on? We've definitely had our struggles with it, with WP forms.
Yeah. Well, and the challenges that we have had is because what was released was not what actually happened. And so it was very troubling to find out that legitimate leads were not landing an email.
Right.
And luckily, we caught it pretty quickly, and we were able to do audits on all of our websites. Yep. But that was still really disheartening because there's so much work that goes into generating a new lead. And so number one, you should be out there testing your web forms, your emails, trying different addresses, send and receive. And I would recommend the two big players that you're doing it to a Gmail address from a Gmail address to a Microsoft account address and from a Microsoft account address. And then, of course, testing your web forms. Just audit it. I think it's always good for businesses and individuals. Don't just trust your marketing team. Go check out your website for yourself. Go poke around and test it for yourself. I think it's super important for you to do that.
Yeah, and I think also it's important to have a system where the lead is being captured on something other than just your email address.
Agreed. CRM.
A CRM, yeah. and actively checking that CRM,
yep.
making sure that you're receiving those leads.
Yeah, and I would even say that once you've tested it and audited it, I don't think it's a bad thing in this climate right now to be testing it once a month.
Yeah.
I think it doesn't take that long.
Marketing team that is.
Or you don't always have to trust the marketing team. That's what I'm trying to say is that I think that you can ask the marketing team, but it's trust but verify.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, that's good. So now I'm going to go into some social media updates.
Okay. Let's do it.
I love this. This is like the most fun when there's beta testing on things with social media platforms.
Yeah.
And so I am a part of a email list that keeps up with social media beta testing for all platforms. And so sharing that on our podcast, I think would be really fun.
I love
fun.
It. Yeah, let's do it.
So the first thing is the Meta verification, which is the blue check mark that you can purchase for $15 a month, which is about $180 a year or something like that. So right now, all you get with that is a blue check mark that you're a verified business or that you're a verified account.
Wonder where they got that from.
Yeah. So, Meta Verification is looking to offer more services with the blue check mark. They sent out a survey recently. Okay. And so I want to go through what they put on the survey and see if maybe you'd be interested in any of these, which ones you think would be valuable for $180 a year.
Okay.
So on top of the blue check mark that you get on your business, that you are a verified business, they put out a survey asking which ones they would be, which ones businesses would be interested in. So they listed original content protection, which will be human reviewed.
Oh, that's nice.
And so that means if you put out content and that is original, that a human will be reviewing and protecting that content. So no one can take that and reshare it without your permission or purchasing it.
Yeah.
So that was the first one. The second one is faster ad reviews by human.
Praise God.
Yeah. Yeah. And so
that could take 24, 72 hours. It can be a while.
Sometimes your entire account can be shut down and you won't get a review for 72 hours. Yeah. And we know that 3 days is a lot when it comes to generating leads. Sometimes that can be up to 25 leads, depending on the business. So faster ad reviews by person. This one I freaked out about. I was like, we have to do this next one. So you get better access to customer support. You'll get an actual phone number.
Ooh.
Directly to
your customer support.
Your customer support for Facebook.
Oh my gosh, that's a game changer. And for $180 Instagram. A year, that's a game changer.
Right now, there is no phone number. You have to go through chat support, and it's just a hot mess. So the next one is you will get up to 8 reels where you can put links in your reel.
Oh, that's nice, too.
Where someone can directly click on it and go to your website.
Let's talk about that. Why is that significant? Because right now, that's not something that can happen.
Right. And reels on Instagram and on Facebook and you can't put a link in the caption on Instagram. That's significant because people don't have to go searching for exactly what you're trying to sell or promote. A lot of people have to go to the bio, then they have to go to your website.
And they don't. They just swipe to the next one. Mm-hmm. But if there's a link in there, then right now we're only able to measure the success of an ad through impressions and watches and the time that they were on that video.
Right.
And then they swipe to the next one. But if you have a link in there, they can stop, go to our website or wherever we're driving them. And then when they come back, then they can swipe.
So another thing too is you can put a link in a video ad where it's like contact us. You click on that button. But this will look organic. When things look organic, they perform better.
Right.
And so when someone feels that it's authentic, they're more likely to click on a link.
Yeah,
so
if it's a sponsored ad, I mean, that's the same thing if you have a sponsored video.
Right.
I don't even care who it is. I'm scrolling past
it. Yeah. Once you see the sponsored, you're like, oh, never mind.
Yeah, this is not what I wanted.
Yep. So the next one is customer support case monitoring, which is along the lines of the more customer support that they're going on. So so basically when you put in a case, a ticket number, you'll get access right away to a human that will review.
So good.
And then the next one is, this one was pretty cool that I was like, whoa, this is different. So alternate display for brand messaging. So what that means is you can update how your brand shows up in someone's feed. So you can put like a black background or a blue background, and you can customize that in someone's feed. So it stands out. So it's not just the white background.
Yeah.
If
there's a little
sense.
More emphasis on it.
I love
that.
Yep. And then on top of that, alternate brand verification badge. So they're going to do more than just the blue badge.
Okay.
So maybe a pink badge. You know what I mean? Or
maybe a blue badge.
Yeah. making it to where your brand stands out just a little bit more.
Yeah.
On social media. So out of all of those, what was your favorite?
The phone number. Hello.
Yeah.
For us, the phone number.
Yeah, that was the biggest one. If they introduce a phone number, they were sending this survey out to multiple brands to see what most would entice you to sign up for Meta. Because I think they're kind of struggling to get people to sign up for Meta verification right now.
Yeah. So I think that the second thing that was most exciting is that link that looks organic. Yeah. I think that's going to increase the traffic to your website. You just get so much more value out of your ad spend when you can drive traffic to your website.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yep. That's where conversion happens. That's what we always tell people is the conversion happens at the website. Yeah. This is just getting eyes on your brand, but to get them to do something, you've got to move them over to your website.
Yeah. I agree.
Yeah. What do you think of this?
The phone number.
Yeah.
And then the faster ad reviews by an actual human.
Hundreds of hours have we spent just trying to tell the AI, no, it isn't compliant.
Yes.
Can you get me to a human? Just send me to a human.
You actually messed up.
Yes.
So
you're wrong.
And it's funny because I don't think we've ever had an instance where the AI came back and said, oh, no, we're still right. They always fix it, but it takes like 72 hours sometimes.
Yeah.
So, yeah, the phone number, 100%. Yeah. Okay. So the next update is, and this is off the TikTok, how Instagram usually follows the lead.
Can I say one thing really quick before we move on?
Yeah.
Did you know that LinkedIn is now doing a check mark too?
Yes.
But that you don't have to pay for it.
Is it just a verification?
Just a verification.
To verify your business.
So my recommendation, go do it before they change their mind to
So. I will say this, though. Instagram had the blue check mark for the bigger accounts. Do you remember that?
Right. Mm-hmm.
When they rolled out Meta verification, they took away the blue check marks from the larger accounts.
Yeah.
So, but I still would go do it if it's free.
I would absolutely go do it right
point
now.
Not doing
yeah.
It.
Yeah.
So, okay. So the second update, this is Instagram following the lead on TikTok. Instagram is testing longer reels for engagement. So they are beta testing 3-minute and 10-minute reels.
That's smart.
And TikTok has already launched 10-minute TikToks. And so what Instagram is seeing is that engagement is going up on TikTok for longer short form video.
Right.
But longer reels will entice engagement. And so with this specifically, definitely as a business, keep an eye out on
this. So for the audience, I think we should qualify what the length of time is now.
Right. Oh, yeah. So the longest reel you can upload right now is 90 seconds.
Right.
A minute and a half.
Right.
Which we have experienced that with our clients. Sometimes it is very hard to get them to do a minute and a half.
You get lawyers.
Yeah.
They
and
cannot,
doctors.
And doctors. Yeah. They cannot explain. It's a lot of information that they're trying to educate, and you give them 90 seconds.
Mm-hmm.
There's no way.
Really, too, they don't want to miss anything because if they cut it short, they could be giving misinformation because they're not clarifying.
They could be held liable mm-hmm. for inaccurate information. Absolutely.
So I totally understand. A lot of times we have to split it up into parts. Part one, part two.
Yeah.
Sometimes even part three.
Sometimes part six.
Yeah.
But
yeah. So that is like a workaround, but it would be nice to just be able to upload the full video.
Yeah.
Make it more interesting. The whole context is right there. You don't have to click through things like that. So they're beta testing this on only some profiles. Mm-hmm. Instagram will roll this out to some people and not others to see how it does before they officially launch. And so they're testing the 3-minute and the 10-minute reel upload option. As far as long form content, because I count 10 minutes as long form content. If you're sitting there watching a video for 10 minutes.
I totally agree that is long form.
How could this help businesses promote on Instagram a little bit better?
I think the 3-minute makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
I think if you have a 10-minute video, you should be over on YouTube on the platform. And there's a lot of case study behind this. So if you have a clip from the 10-minute video that is just a teaser, a lot of creators, what they'll do is say, go over to my YouTube to see the whole video. That's a great example of being able to go across multiple channels. And so I think the 3-minute video is going to really – you have a better understanding of the user really being engaged with you at 3 minutes. At a minute – at 90 seconds, we don't know how really interested they are. If somebody's going to sit there for 3 minutes, I think that they're obviously more vetted. If they sit there for 10 minutes, again, that's your audience right there.
I think – though it's hard because 10 minutes is an awkward time that not a lot of people will sit through. So there's long form, like podcasts are doing really well right now because you can sit there for an hour and a half and be entertained. But as far as like a 7-minute video, I don't know if I see the real benefit in that just yet. But I also think that there is always good in testing. So as far as like your marketing strategy on a monthly basis, when this officially is launched, going in and keeping your short form content, but adding in a 3-minute video, adding in an 8-minute video, seeing how it performs and analyzing the analytics behind it.
So I could see a 10-minute video being a how-to.
Yeah.
That would be a great, great reason that somebody would want to stick around for 10 minutes. And the truth of the matter is Gen Z is using TikTok, maybe even Instagram and Instagram Reels, that they can search for the reel if it's a how-to. And so I could see that being a potential opportunity. My son has done a tie and how to change a tire. And, I can see that being a good use case for a 10-minute video.
Well, even because we work with a lot of service-based industry companies, mm-hmm. even what it's going to be like to be in that service. Yeah. So if I'm going in for a cosmetic procedure, yes. I want to know what is that appointment going to be like?
Yes.
A demo. With clips. Yeah, with clips, you can't get the full picture.
You could do a demo.
Exactly.
Yeah, I think that's absolutely true.
Yeah. So keep a lookout on that. Instagram will probably drop that pretty soon, probably in the next couple months, if they're already beta testing it.
Yeah.
So, okay, next update, which this is a funny one for us. You can now backdate posts on Instagram.
Really?
Yeah. So you know how on Facebook you can backdate posts?
Yeah.
So now on Instagram you can go in and you can backdate posts. And it's funny because when I'm reading the articles on this update, everyone is like, this has no benefit to the user. This is all benefit to agencies
absolutely.
That miss a post. Yes. And they go in and they backdate it. And so it's just really funny because I don't see a huge benefit in the users using this.
Well, and you have to a lot of the larger agencies that are working directly with Meta, mm-hmm. you know, they're trying to – I'm sure that they're just blowing them up. There's got to be some way. Because there's events or other things that they're trying to promote that needed a certain date on there.
Right.
I don't see any personal user needing mm-hmm. this function.
No.
At all.
And that is a good point with events. So say you go to an event, you take photos, you get really nice photos of that event. Some people will backdate the post to the day that that event was at.
Yes.
To make it look.
And to tag the event as well. Yeah.
To make it look like these photos were.
But the general user is not going to take a ton of time to be able to figure that out. They're just going to say the date in the post.
Right.
I don't think it's going to be that. But definitely agencies. You've got that.
Yeah. Okay, so one more update. This is also Instagram. Instagram's been busy lately, apparently. Yeah.
Well, of ever course, since they're Meta. They're working on getting TikTok banned, and they also need to up their game and compete with Twitter. Or X.
So you can now add files to Instagram DMs. Another function that no one asked for, honestly.
I actually think that's a bad idea.
Why?
Because if it's a corrupted file,
mm-hmm.
I don't know what the extent of Meta is going to be able to do, but I think that as you have an older population that is using Instagram, they're going to be innocent and open up those files. I think that's a terrible idea.
Corrupt file, also people asking for sensitive information, like maybe like tax documents, things like that. As a generation move forward and everything's on our phone and more files go to our phone and we're using our phone, that could be dangerous. The only benefit I could see is if more businesses are working in the DMs of Instagram, but I don't see that happening.
I don't see any need for a form to be uploaded, even if they're doing business on Instagram. Yeah. I think that you can message through the DMs, but if you need signatures, if you need verification, mm-hmm. Also, I go instantly to HIPAA and other secure data being transferred that you – I think that's a terrible idea.
Yeah.
I don't even understand the purpose.
I don't either. No one understood the purpose. I couldn't find what the purpose of that launch was.
Well, even if they release it, I don't recommend using that.
Yeah.
At all.
As far as – before we sign off, as far as X goes,
yeah,
is there anything that you've seen recently that is – coming to fruition with X that you want to touch on? I'm not very knowledgeable about X. It's kind of fallen off the face of the earth except for politics and sports.
Medicine.
Okay.
So there are a lot of physicians and medical providers that use X. And so there is a lot of video lives and broadcasts are starting to, but again, in the political realm. Right. And so I think it is a very conservative platform too.
Okay.
I think that is kind of what the intention is behind it. I'm not saying that there aren't people that are not so conservative that are over there. I just think that it's kind of being positioned as that. And so there's not a lot of movement over there. I'll be really honest. I think that there are demographics that have always been demographic. IT, support, services. Like if your phone lines are down or if your power is out, or the school closure, that seems to be a really good place to be able to get that information right now, real-time information. So, but from a marketing standpoint, if you're not in those main fields, I really don't think there's a lot of activity over there. However, Google does index all of the links over on X. And so it does help with search engine optimization, but it's minuscule in comparison to the amount of work that it would take to do it. So I really don't think that there's a huge
value.
I don't think yet. So. Yeah, yet. I'm always paying attention.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I do have some clients that I am working on X because they do cater to those industries that I was talking about. Right. But there's just not a ton of engagement over there.
Okay. Yeah. That's good. Yeah. Okay. That is all I have today.
Okay. Good job.
Thanks.
This was fun.
Yeah. We're in a new studio.
Yes.
Yeah.
New look.
Yeah, new look, new logo.
New logo. So, yes.
We will be back once a month starting out, get our feet wet again, get into the groove of things.
I would love if people would share what they're interested in, what topics. If you want to email us, if you want to message us.
You can email us those updates at support@lifeinmotion.com, and we will see them. Our team will see them, and we will definitely take that into consideration. Other than that, we'll be back next month.
Yeah.
With a new podcast.
New set of topics.
Yeah, new set of topics. We are trying to keep as up to date as possible on everything that we are talking about. So that is all we have for this episode of Market to the Mavens. Staying up to date in this industry is essential or you will be left behind. So that is why we are here to help with everything that is going on. Make sure to subscribe to our podcast. Follow us on Instagram and Facebook if you want to keep up to date with everything going on with Market to the Mavens. And thank you for joining us today.
Thank you.
This is Tori
and Heather
signing off.